Well, thanks once again for joining with us in this broadcast. We trust the Lord will bless you today as we spend time to think about the Lord and consider His Word. We're going to start off by singing the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. The words will appear on the screen for you to sing along. We'll just ask the Lord to bless this broadcast. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, once again that we can come to Thy presence. And Lord, we look to Thee, Lord, to bless this broadcast today. We pray that, Lord, Thou wouldst give help, Lord, even to David as he comes to bring Thy word. Lord, we pray Thou wouldst speak through Thy word. Thou wouldst speak through the word that Thou hast laid in his heart. We pray that, Lord, Thou wouldst even speak even through the hymns that we sing. And Lord, we thank Thee, Lord, even for that hymn where we are reminded of the faithfulness of God, how Thou art faithful, and how often we feel Thee, yet, Lord, Thou art ever faithful. And Lord, we pray, dear Lord, that we would keep our eyes upon Thee. And Lord, may we give Thee thanks, Lord, for all that Thou hast done for us. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that Thou hast done, for saving us, for sending Thine only begotten Son into the world to save sinners. And so, Lord, we look to Thee now to bless all the aspects of this broadcast, and we, Lord, we just pray for the nursing homes, that, Lord, thy hand would be upon them, and that, Lord, thou wouldst meet them at the point of their need, and that, Lord, thou wouldst most importantly visit the spiritual needs, the need of salvation. So, Lord, bless, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing our next hymn, which is the hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. After this singing, we'll have Bethany to give us the Bible reading.
Is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 8 verses 18 to 22, and we read, "And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us, and go out before us, and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man unto his city."
Just for a few minutes, I want us to think a little bit about the passage that's just been read to us by Bethany. At this time in Israel's history, a man called Samuel was a judge over Israel. You've probably heard of Samuel. You've maybe heard the story of how, when he was a little child in the temple, how he was laying his head to sleep and the Lord called and said, "Samuel, Samuel." You've probably heard that story, and you'll know who Samuel is then. This is much later in his life. He's an old man now, and he has two sons, Joel and Abiah. Now, the passage that's been read to us comes at a time when Israel was ruled under a government called a theocracy. Now, a theocracy just means that God was the ultimate ruler over Israel, and under God, then, there were judges that were appointed, and God gave them wisdom to rule the people. Samuel, of course, was one such judge, the last judge. Now, at this stage, the elders of Israel come up to see Samuel, and they ask that Samuel would appoint a king to rule over the land. In this portion, therefore, as they are coming up to Samuel and asking for a king instead of God to rule, they want rid of this theocracy. Just for a few minutes, I want to think about the downfall of this uprising. This was a revolution. It was a change of government. No longer did the people want God to rule. They wanted a man to be king over them. That brings us to our first point, which is the rejection of Christ. Rejection of Christ. These elders came up to Samuel, and we read in verse 5 of the chapter, they say to Samuel, "Make us a king to judge us like all the nations." You see, Samuel's two sons, Joel and Abiah, they were going to be in the run for taking on Samuel's position, and they were going to become judges. But you know, the elders of Israel were not happy with Joel and Abiah because these were two wicked men. They did not keep to the word of God the way Samuel did. In fact, when the elders come and they say to Samuel about a king, they mention this. This is their excuse and their reason. They said to Samuel this, "Thy sons walk not in thy ways, Samuel." But you know, that statement reveals to me something. Yes, Samuel was a righteous man and these two men were wicked, but they were comparing Joel and Abiah to Samuel's ways. There's no mention here of God's ways. You see, these elders of Israel, they wanted to put God out of their minds and out of the kingdom, and they wanted a man to rule. They wanted their own way. You see, here is rejection of Christ and of God as ruler. They are putting God completely out of the picture. It's just like a parable that we read in the New Testament. And in that parable, we read these words, "We will not have this man to reign over us." They didn't want God to be their ruler and their king. But we know that God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You know, who was it that rejected the Lord? Who was it that rejected God as king? It was these elders that came up to Samuel and asked. And you know, these elders represented the whole nation of Israel. That reminds me, you know, of another representative. You see, these representatives, the elders, they represented all of Israel, all the people of Israel. And once they rejected God as king, they didn't want this theocracy government of God ruling, then all of the nation of Israel and all the people in that nation were brought under judgment. And that reminds me of the representative called Adam. Have you heard of Adam? He was the very first man. And he represents you and me and all of mankind born throughout all of ages. Adam represented us. There in the Garden of Eden, God had placed him in a perfect garden there at the very beginning of creation. And God gave Adam that one command, that he was not to eat of the forbidden fruit. Yes, he could eat of any of the fruit, but of this one tree, Adam couldn't eat. Adam represented you and me. What did Adam do? We know that Adam sinned against God, and he ate of the forbidden fruit. And because of that, all of mankind, you and me, were brought into condemnation. Just like these elders that came up to Samuel and said, "Make us a king to rule over us." And the whole nation of Israel was brought into judgment because of this. So, when Adam sinned, death passed upon all flesh. For that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Read that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. These judges rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does this mean that Israel as a nation were now under judgment and that you and me are now under judgment? What does that actually mean? What am I talking about? Well, we've seen rejection of Christ. But once we reject Christ, this judgment means the devil is reigning. That's our second point. The reign of the devil. You see, when these elders came to Samuel and they wanted this new king, they had a great expectation. Listen to this in verse 20. They wanted a king, and it says here, "Our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." They wanted a great ruler who was going to execute judgment, and he wanted a ruler that was going to lead them out to the battlefields and bring great victories over all the enemies that surrounded Israel. One of the most well-known, of course, the Philistines. They wanted a king that was going to be victorious and put all the nations underneath their feet. They wanted a king that was going to be easy in judgment and do what the people wanted and go easy on them. This suggests to me they didn't like the way Samuel judged. They didn't like Samuel holding on to the word of God and Samuel's righteous judgment. You know, this spirit in these elders, how they felt, reminds me of a lot of people today. You know, a lot of people today don't like God reigning. They don't want God reigning. They would rather have the devil's reign. It sounds very inviting because just like this king that they were wanting, they were expecting that he would be a judge and go easy on them in judgment and that he would fight great battles and victories. They wanted the king to fight all the battles and that they would have an easy life. Many people today think that, you know, if I got saved, it'd be too hard and there's so many commandments and tithes and I just want a nice, easy life with all the battles already fought for me. Just as the way these elders wanted a king who would fight all their battles and deal with all their problems and they'd have nothing to worry about. Nice, easy living. Not a care in the world, they thought. Can I tell you, that's the same invitation the devil's offering you. That a nice, easy life, the devil promises. And, you know, there's many people today that don't like God's laws. They don't like they don't like the Bible. They would rather a progressive person that loosens things up and makes life a little bit easier and not so many strict rules. But, you know, this passage tells us the reality that happened. Whenever the devil reigns, whenever this man was going to be set up as a king instead of God reigning, what is the reality? Let me read you a few of the verses that we read in this chapter of 1 Samuel. The reality, listen, he will take your sons and appoint them for himself. This is speaking of the king he will take. Then further on down, he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. He will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards. He will take the tenth of your seed. He will take your manservants and your maidservants. He will take the tenth of your sheep. Did you hear that? He will take, he will take, he will take. Repeat it again and again and again. And let me tell you something, that is exactly how the devil really reigns. Oh yes, he promises that nice carefree life and you'll not be bound by God's commandments. But the reality is the devil will take and he will take and he will take. It's mentioned 6 times here, that phrase, he will take. And 6 in the Bible is the number of sin. It's the number of devil. It's the number of sinful man. You've probably heard of the number 666, the mark of the beast. It says 6 indicates sin. And so we have here a picture of how the devil reigns compared to with how this king of Israel was going to reign, that he would take and take and take. And just like sin, this taking spreads. First it started off with their sons and their daughters, then it was their servants, then it was their livestock, then it was their crops. Just continued and spread along. That's what sin does. It starts as a little seed. Then it germinates and grows and grows and grows. Before you know it, the devil has taken you down into the deep dark valley. This is exactly how the devil reigns. And you know what? We talked about Adam earlier. And when Adam decided to reject Jesus Christ, reject God and his law, and eat of that forbidden fruit, the exact same thing happened. The devil took Adam away, because Adam, because of his sin, was taken out of the Garden of Eden, that pleasant garden, that perfect garden. He was taken out of it because he sinned against God. And ultimately, this taking ends in hell. Maybe today you say, you know what, I don't really like God's commandments. I don't like the Bible. I don't like these strict rules. I'll have Sunday for me and myself and do what I want on the Lord's Day and Sunday. I'll tell that little lie. It means no harm. But the Bible tells us the pleasures of sin only last for a season. Hebrews chapter 11 teaches us that. And ultimately, the devil wants to bring your body, your soul, and your spirit down into a lost eternity in hell. And that brings us to our third and final point, ruin for eternity. Once we reject Christ, and if the devil is going to reign in our lives, it ends in eternal ruin for all of eternity. Listen to this very solemn verse that we actually read here in this passage in 1 Samuel 8. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. Listen, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. It'll be too late. You see, if we reject God in this life, there will come a day when we stand before God, and it'll be too late. There comes a time when God's patience runs out. Tonight, this afternoon, you're very fortunate to be able to listen to the gospel, to listen to the Bible, and listen to the hymns. But there will come a time when God's mercy will run its course. Tonight, this afternoon, wherever you're listening, God is inviting you to come and to be saved. This is a window of opportunity, but there will come a time when time will be no more. Time will run out. And whenever you come and you stand before God after you die, then it'll be too late to cry out to God. And if you're not saved and the devil's still reigning in your heart, these are the words that you will hear from the Lord. Matthew chapter 7. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart. Depart. And where will you depart to? Where will you go? Listen to Matthew 13. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds like a loud place. Lots of crying, lots of gnashing of teeth and roaring. Endless restlessness. But the Lord will not hear you in that day. It'll be too late. You see, the time to get right with God is now. But you know, as Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and set up their own king instead, I want to tell you about the mercy of God. Because later on in Israel's history, yes, Saul did become the king. They did set up a man as a king. They rejected the theocracy style of government and set up a king. But you know, later on, the Lord chose him out, a young shepherd boy, and made him to be king over Israel instead of Saul, in the place of King Saul. His name was David. God chose him because he was a man after God's own heart. This shepherd boy, God seen him in the fields and picked him and chose him to be king over Israel. And you know, that reminds me of King David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10. And you know what the Good Shepherd did? The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's for you and for me. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life. He was taken as a lamb before his shearers. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and there he shed his precious blood, that you don't have to be ruined for all of eternity. You don't have to be under the devil's reign of taking and taking and taking you down to hell. You can have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary and took away sin. Something marvelous happened there. He bruised Satan's head, which was promised to Adam way back in Genesis chapter 3. The Lord bruised Satan's head, defeated the devil, got rid of him so that we can be saved. And Christ died on the cross, but praise God, he rose again on the third day. And right now he's in heaven, and he's there waiting for you to accept him as your Saviour. And if today you hear the Lord's voice and he is, as it were, knocking at the door of your heart, invite the Lord into your heart and ask him to wash away your sin, and he will forgive you, and he will make you right and ready for heaven to enter there the pearly gates which he's prepared for us. But remember, you must do it today, because there will be that time, if you're still out of Christ and you continue under the devil's reign, there will be that time when the Lord will not hear you. So you must ask the Lord today. The Bible says in Hebrews, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. May God bless this message to our hearts. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless us even this short word for thy honor and glory. Amen.
Broadcast to a close in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give thee thanks, Lord, for this broadcast. We pray that, Lord, thou wouldst bless all that has been said and done for thy name. We pray that, Lord, that while man's voice at the end of this broadcast will be silent, we pray, dear Lord, thou wouldst speak on, and that, Lord, thou wouldst challenge the hearts of those which are unsaved, that they would be drawn unto thyself, and that, Lord, thou wouldst encourage thy people. And that, Lord, we pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst keep thy hand upon the nursing home, as has been prayed. And, Lord, we pray that, Lord, that thou wouldst meet them at the point of their need, especially in the spiritual sense. So, Lord, we pray that, Lord, thou wouldst write thy word upon our hearts. May we seek not only to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for watching, and may the Lord bless you.